Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's January 26th. The number to call, 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Looking after all things technical is my good friend, Mr. John Stout. I haven't seen him in a while, and I hope that he is keeping safe with his family. And I hope you are also keeping safe, our listeners, all Barbadians, you are keeping safe. Now, yesterday's show caught the ears of many, many, many Barbadians. And it was a extra lively show, if you want to put it that way. And from what I gathered listening to Brass Tacks Monday was that Barbadians really felt that they should have a lockdown. So today, I'm going to look at it from a different pair of eyes and see if Barbadians are waiting for the government to do the lockdown, or can Barbadians take some responsibility and put some things in place for themselves prior to that decision? Do we have to wait on government in order to do the right thing? Should government have to put laws onto our people in order for them to do the right thing? Now, there are some people that you don't have to do that to, and there are others, obviously, that may need some assistance pushing them along not to break the law. Now, this morning, I do have a couple of young people who wanted to weigh in, and I believe we have one on the line, Dario Bowen. He's 27 years old. He's never called the program before. We spoke just before. And Dario wanted to weigh in on the COVID situation. And I'm going to ask him a few questions. And it's not often that we get young people calling or interested in the program. So I want to welcome Dario Bowen. Dario, are you there? Dario, can you hear me?
Yes, please, President. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Not too bad. So, Dari, tell us about COVID last year for you, and then you can bring it into this year, about the lockdown last year, and then when things relaxed. I wanted to ask you, what were you and your friends doing around the time of the, let's bring it back to when we had the ease of restrictions in June last year, May, June. Did you guys continue to comply? Did you?
Yes, please. Well, for me, in the beginning, it was a bit tough because wearing your mask and sanitizing your hand, these things was like, especially the mask, it wasn't like an everyday thing that you would be using a mask. You know, you come up, you're seeing, you're going to the hospital, you're seeing doctors wearing masks, protecting themselves when they're doing surgery and what's not, but you know, you never believe that you could come to be this today wearing a mask to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit hard for me. Sometimes I would leave home and got the mask pulled up in my pocket. Sometimes I would got the mask around my ears, pulled on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it won't be on at all.
Mm-hmm.
But going through the COVID and like Barbados is like around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to fight it. Ain't only us. It's everybody. So like wearing masks, sanitizing your hands, doing certain things, them is things that you got to, like, open your eyes, catch it, and deal with the situation right now.
So you would say that you have improved somewhat with your practices from last year till now? And what did it for you in terms of making that transition, that change?
The VO has got to know, because the last situation, no, last year, the cases with the rising and the numbers going up,
mm-hmm.
it's far worse now than it was last year. So for me now, I just have my own personal sanitizer,
mm-hmm.
and the mask is being worn,
mm-hmm.
on the outside of the house.
Oh, okay. But tell me something, because I know you have persons living in your home, because we've spoken before, and your grandmother and so on. What do you do in order to help to protect her?
Some days I don't visit her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some days they stand from outside and show mm-hmm. on the inside just to make sure she's good. If she want anything from off of the road, she will call me. Mm-hmm. And she want anything from Off Free Road, and then leaving home, she would run out, and she would go, and she mind, she would show, and she would tell me, ask what she wants, this, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just try not to don't go in the house. Because it's not only her, it's two other people, too, also.
That are old people?
Yes, please.
Okay. So tell me something about you and your friends, because I know you're from the St. Philip area. You find that your friends are doing the same thing, or all of you did pretty much didn't adhere to the protocols before. You find that there is any changes around the block or anything like that?
Yeah, people changing. Now I see people coming outside on the block with masks. People got the sanitizer strapped to the pocket. Mm-hmm. I got friends that sell masks.
Oh, making a business. That's good. That's good.
I see people improving in the situation. So for me, it's a change.
Where do you get your information from in terms of what to do? Do you get it from government, or do you guys go on YouTube and get it from outside sources?
Well, the information, sometimes I research my information on the Google. I research information from YouTube. Mm-hmm. But like, I try to listen to the government. Mm-hmm. The government can only do so much for we people. Mm-hmm. We, the people, is who got to come together and try to fight this ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You think
along the government guidelines. Mm-hmm.
So if they had, so the restrictions, no, how is the curfew? You think that the guys are adhering? You are?
Yeah, yes, please.
People are going inside?
For sure.
Okay. So what if we have more restrictions now? How is that going to play out for you and your life?
More restrictions now. If in the case where you have to lock down to protect me, my family, and the Bajans that's living out there, lock down. If you don't have to lock down, and we as the people can fight and follow certain restrictions and guidelines to do what we have to do to fight it, the government will make that decision. But the government can only make that decision based on we, the people, what we are doing, if you understand.
Yeah, so basically the government can make rules, but people then have to comply.
People have to comply.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything?
You can still wear a mask, but the body can't come in. Mm-hmm. Wrap the mask from your face. You, the persons who have to wear the mask.
Mm-hmm.
So you, the persons who have to have sanitizer.
So you think that the government's communication to the people, and particularly people in your age group, y'all are getting it, or is there anything more that the government can do to hit home the message more, in your opinion? Are they reaching you guys? You said that, yeah, you were listening to the government, yes, but are they reaching people in your age group?
Well, some people in my age group, with the understanding level, the government will go bring it out in a different way, which may be a address the country, she brings it out in a way that each and every person could understand. So it's we as the people, as I say, have to take in the understanding and try to go forward.
All right. Well, any advice you want to give all Barbadians before you go, Dari?
Well, you just keep trying to adhere to the rules. Sanitizing. Wearing your mask and what's not, and just try to keep it safe.
All right. Well, I hope that a lot of people, because I know that some people know that you are on in the St. Philip area. We don't normally get you guys locked on to Brass Tacks, and I'm happy to know that you were brave enough to come and to at least give some advice and talk about what it's been like for you. Yep. You continue to be safe. Good job. And we so appreciate hearing from people in your age group, and I'm hoping that the government's listening to you as well.
Manners.
Because manners and respect, buddy. Manners and respect.
All the time.
All right, buddy. All right. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hedge. A couple of things here. The first thing I asked to do is, I was looking back at last year, comparing what is going on this year. Every time the Prime Minister of Barbados come on the TV or the radio with her press conferences on press release this and press this. We were told at that time, but it was a fact at that time that Barbados, as a small developing island, has done tremendously well in having this pandemic under control. And every time she appeared, she always used to talk about, we have so much billion dollars in reserves, and there was nothing much to worry about in that area. And that with the money there, we were able then to buy things that are necessary. And we then also had the places in case that we have the assessed numbers. And all the people all over the world were wondering what is that Barbados is doing that so well for a small island that we seem like the northern star, this bright star above all the other stars. But here's the thing now. I would like to ask the Dr. Greenwich and the head of the Economic Society to name for me two prime ministers in the East, in the English-speaking Caribbean, who would like to be the position of where Barbados found itself today. You see, we were bragging and we were boasting. And if we are not careful, Miss Hayes, we are going to become the laughingstock of the English-speaking Caribbean. There is always said, you do read your Bible sometimes, I guess. It is said that boast not of itself, of the hardest fist that puts horn to go to war. Because you have to remember, there are soldiers who also got an hardest just like you. The problem, however, for me, is that in December, I got a bit concerned. And the numbers that they were giving to the people about this, I suspect that those numbers, I had problems with those numbers. Now, here's the challenge. Whether the Prime Minister locked down, shut down, this thing is being hard, very hard to pull back. Here's a scenario. A fellow that is asymptomatic goes among his friends and play. He's waiting on the test results. Those friends then go to St. Philip and play with their young friends. And their young friends myself go to St. John and to St. Lucie, Sergio. Oh, and this great word, but that first person got back the results, which is positive. How can it be that Dr. Corey Ford and Dr. Alec Corbett could do that contact tracing? Somewhere along the line, they're going to lose it. So the problem is not locking down or shutting down. Mm-hmm. The problem is trying to get this thing now under control. Lockdown has proven not to be all that successful.
But what would you suggest if it's not a lockdown? What would you suggest to get it under control?
Your first suggestion, what everybody has suggested last year, why reopen the place in such a hurry to bring tourists here to spend a dollar, and then you got to spend $5. You know, there's a saying, and I would tell this to Dr. Greenwich, mm-hmm. There's a saying, you're a penny wise and a pound foolish, and that what was happening to us. You all are selling everybody locked down, but you open a place to bring these stores, to spend a couple of dollars, and you got to spend it on buying things for your hospital. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that you sent to India, who has a population there, they have billion people to look after, asking them to sell you some of the vaccines, and then, in other words, you want somebody begging for some. There's a position that we have found ourselves.
So, if I have to ask you, you are then basically pointing solely at the government responsible for this spike?
Yes, I
okay.
have to. Right,
no, right. I'm just asking.
Yes, okay. I have to. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I point your fingers at? I can't point your fingers at the young fellas or younger. Mm-hmm. You have to point at them. Because they allow these people to come in here. Mm-hmm. And then they had this program here, so by Barbados Tourism Authority, mm-hmm. bring people here for a year, 6 months or a year, come and work in Barbados. But you know what's happening now? Mm-hmm. Some of these people that are here are getting right now to leave again because they don't get the notice, the advice there by the American government, but Barbados is a high-risk country.
But it's CDC. May I ask you a question? You said that this is strictly the government's
Of course, I have to blame for that.
Okay, that's fine. I think we're all doing a Mexican standoff here where everybody's pointing at everybody. But
this ain't no
do
Mexican
you,
standoff.
Well,
it's reality.
No, what I'm saying that you're not the only person with a view. There are people who feel a little different. There are people who may feel that Barbadians have to carry the responsibility. And there are people who are saying both.
But listen,
both. Do you accept?
No.
But you have to let me finish.
Let me ask you.
No. Just let me ask you one question. When you pointed at the government, I'm asking you, do you hold any Barbadians, any at all, partly responsible for the spike in terms of not adhering to the protocols? Is that something you've considered? That's what I'm asking you.
Yes. The main fault lies at the government. I tell somebody, well, a lot of Barbadians. You got people in Barbados that every prime minister player is playing her pipe as she goes to the edge of the cliff, all of them will follow her. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised at what they have to say. You understand? Mm-hmm. They're saying so on the same hymn book, and they say the same tune, and in the same key. So I don't look at those people. We have to look at reality. The other thing before I go, and this is what I was a laughter to my ears. The CEO at the hospital is asking retired nurses to come and give some assistance. They could be assistant nurses or have a role. Because there's a shortage of nurses now at the hospital. The CEO doesn't recognize that a lot of the nurses who are retired were glad to get home and enjoy the balance of life that God has promised to them. Some of these nurses are in a bad state of health. And I don't see those nurses that retire, a lot of them would take that opportunity, because what she'd be doing is hastening these nurses' steps towards
the okay, you hold on a second. If you're retired and you are not well, let's just say that you are in a wheelchair.
No,
you can't speak for most retired persons.
I am telling you, most of the retired nurses.
Could you
listen?
The best learner is the greatest listener. Just one second, all right? No one, as far as I can see, forced anybody to come out. If you think you are well enough and you want to participate, to assist, and go back out to work. You know how many people who retire begging to come back because they feel that they have enough energy and a lot to give back to society. They don't want to go home. Not everybody wants to go home.
Okay,
if you choose... No, you hold on. If you choose to stay home because you're not well or you just don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it.
Listen,
say that they're being forced is incorrect.
I never said they're forced. Listen to me,
or pushing them closer to the grave and so on. That
of
is
course,
what you said.
Okay,
but that is. But people have to make their own decisions, sir.
Listen, you could understand if a fellow, let's say for example, he was a chemistry fellow and he retired, but he wanted to come and give the boys in the village that extra push. Teachers that will give extra lessons. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the problem. But you talk about working in a health institution where you come across a lot of people, and the others might be susceptible.
Well, you know what? Let's hear from some. I can tell you, I've heard from one retired nurse who was more than happy to go back to help. So, and I can't speak for all nurses, neither can you. So I'm hopeful that those who are able to go back to the QEH or in the healthcare system, because we need them now, and they know they can do it safely because they're okay, then we welcome them. We salute them. I'm sorry to hear that you don't feel the same way. But again, reason for this show, different opinions, and we do respect your view. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Haig.
Good morning.
First-time caller to Brass Tacks. I'm not a first-time caller to VOB because I'm a VOB star, so I'm always on VOB.
Well, welcome. First-time caller to Brass Tacks.
Always nice hearing you on the program.
Thank you.
But what I'm calling about this morning is that with something that happened to me yesterday in my home. It has nothing to do with COVID. I was here getting ready to leave, and my telephone rang. And the lady on the line said, can I speak to Margaret Mary? That is my name. I said, speaking. Mm-hmm. So when I said speaking, she proceeded to carry on. I was trying to call you all the time. I am here trying to reach you with about a debt collecting friend. I said, hold on. There are more than one dog out there that named Bob. Yes, you said ask to speak to Margaret Mary. I could not say less because that is my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, it is my name, so I respond to you. So with that, I think that her next question should have said that, well, when I said more than one dog named Bob was that, she should have said, but she looking for somebody from a particular address
mm-hmm.
or something like that. So she proceeded to carry on, like, if I am the person that she's looking at for and I am the culprit that she's looking for, and she carried on and carried on in my ears. I had to tell her, I said, I was not supposed to be doing her work for her because she should be trained in this field. That she's in calling people houses, she should be trained in this field. And I asked her how she get my telephone number. She did not think, well, I said, my telephone number has nothing to do with the name that you are looking for because my name is, I said, my name is Margaret Orisa Maynard, and I live in Parish Lancrest Church. She's asking for somebody, and I said, you have the wrong Margaret. But she's still proceeding to think that it is me. I don't know if this body, this person is, I get a lot of this thing because there's something in the papers recently and somebody was calling. He had to tell people, I never live in, the closest place I live to Christchurch is now that I'm living in Parish Land. I arrived from St. Philip, but I'm in Parish Land living now. I tell her I own the light, the water, and floor, and those is the tree done, but you don't have to call me for those things. But she persists in carrying on. She has an ID number, and she has a this, and she has a that. I mean, if you're I ask in these business places, if you're employing people, look for the correct people to put in place, that when they call people places, that they would know how to go about it and what to say, because that conversation yesterday wasn't nice. And it's not going to finish there because I'm going to management and I'm going to find out this thing because it was not a nice conversation at my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put it out there to these business places out there that are...
Well, I hope you called the business place that she was calling on behalf of.
I called the business place, yes. I called, but the manager is not in as yet. I'm trying to get the manager because I don't let Miss Haig, you don't know me. Once I am in the right, I don't leave things sitting down. I go right through it. I don't leave things hanging around once I'm in it, right? Because, I mean, if it was you, I'm sure that you wouldn't feel good the way how she carried on. Like, if I am the person...
Well, the conversation might not have gone on that long.
If it was you, it wouldn't have gone on. But then I got to the point, I got over what I had to say, and I put down my phone. I got over what I had to say, and I did put down my phone after that. But it was real, all to last night. This thing bothered me, waiting till morning, because I wasn't home yesterday. I was out all day yesterday. I would have dealt with it yesterday, but I was out all day yesterday. And when I came back,
well,
and I know
well,
that.
Can I say this? Your whole name just went out on the air?
I know, I don't
so
care.
The,
I don't
no, no,
care.
No. What I'm saying is that the individual, since it's not you, the person who shares that name with you, now would have been notified by now that someone
with the same name
is looking
for Margaret,
them.
But this Margaret, there's not Margaret Orisa Maynard there. It's not Margaret I Maynard. It's there that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not Margaret I Maynard because mm-hmm. I don't, to be truthful, I didn't like my when I was going to school, I didn't like my middle name. And it was just to tell people I named Margaret, Rosalind, Beverly, Patricia, because them is names I make up because there's names that I like. Mm-hmm.
All right. So on another gear, how are you managing with COVID? Okay.
I am trying to stay as safe as possible. I don't go out unless I have to go out.
Okay.
I've been home. I haven't worked since the 9th of March last year.
Mm-hmm.
But with God's help, I am thinking I came up with opening up a business to start small. You know, doing a little different things then, a little, mm-hmm. not an everyday something, but a little weekend something to keep the bills that I wouldn't know debt collector won't have to call me.
Okay. Well, let's just hope that if that person is listening, they don't pick up the phone and think that you have a little bit of change for them and accuse you again of owing them.
Well, no, they can't accuse me. They can't accuse me. So they try to get the facts right and get the names and everything right. And I think.
All right.
It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Enjoy you when you're on.
Thank you.
I see some folks, so they give you some trouble, but you can't have
that's all right.
Own.
That's all right. We're here to help. Okay, thank you. Down to Brass Stacks, you're on the air, 1025.
Good morning.
Good